Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Beloved, that's who we worship. The God who is above all gods, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I want to tell you, if you missed our Sunday school class this morning, you missed a great time around fellowshipping in the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for the good job. And again, I want to thank all of you who weathered the storm to make it out here today to be part of that Sunday school class. It was a great time of fellowship. Now, as we come together for the Word of God in this time of teaching, we're into lesson 3 in our opening conversation on the book of Joshua. In our previous 2 lessons, we've talked about Israel and their defining moment of faith as they stood at the doors of the promised land. And we looked at the journey to the abundant life, the life that God provides for his children when he sets them free from the bondage of sin and death. For those interested in those messages, they're posted on our website and in our Facebook page. And so if you'd like to catch up with those, please do so. This morning, we move forward into our study of the book of Joshua, and as we come to the beginning of the book, we see God's affirmation of Joshua's appointment to lead the nation of Israel. And as I considered God's affirmation to Joshua's appointment to lead Israel, the thought resurfaced in my mind. God uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. Through the life of Moses, we saw that he was not a perfect man, but God used him in mighty ways to accomplish God's will. We also know that Joshua is not a perfect man, but God now has great plans to use Joshua and his faithfulness to the Lord in a mighty way. And so as we read about Joshua taking the helm of the nation of Israel, I was reminded that God in the New Testament also reminds us there that he uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. Besides the distribution of spiritual gift to all believers, 1 Corinthians 12, God appoints some people to places of leadership in the church. It tells us in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to building up of the body of Christ. And so again, we see God that both in the Old Testament and the New Testament uses imperfect people to do his work. So if you're here today and you feel a little bit imperfect, congratulations. You are exactly the kind of person that God desires to use. The question we need to answer is that even though we are imperfect in who we are we willing to be used by God to complete his perfect will? When God calls his disciples, called his disciples to making a difference for him, Jesus required 3 basic things from them. God had 3 things in mind when he called his disciples to follow him. First, God desired their availability. He said in Matthew 4:19 to Simon, Peter, and Andrew, "Follow me." Availability is needful if we are going to accomplish the will of God in our life. We have to be available to him. Secondly, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, and Andrew that they needed to be teachable. Teachability is an important part. If we're available to God, when we're available, we need to be teachable. See, this morning, you're here. You're all available. You came to the place of worship and service here at the church. You plowed through a snowstorm to get here. You're available. In your availability, did you bring your teachability? You see, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come follow me." And he also said, "And I will make you fishers of men," implying that Jesus had something to teach them. So teachability follows availability. And then third, Jesus instructed his disciples to faithfulness. Go into all the world, he said in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Faithfulness. You know, availability and teachability do not mean anything unless we are being faithful to what we are taught. Availability, teachability, and faithfulness. They're like the automatic transmission fluid of the Christian life that keep us moving forward in our relationship with God. They are necessary ingredients for spiritual growth and for spiritual usability. So before I move to the next subject matter, I want to ask you, in regard to your walk with God, are you allowing God to use you? Are you allowing God to use your giftedness? Are you allowing God to use you to make a difference for His kingdom? Are you available to the Lord, willingly placing yourself under His discipleship ministry? Are you willing to use your time and effort to be available to God in order that you might come before His presence? If you're unavailable to God, then likely you're unusable by God. Remember the rich young ruler? He had a major issue, didn't he? He had no availability to follow Jesus. No availability to follow Jesus. And as a result, he missed out on the blessing of walking with God, and he missed out on the blessing of being used by God, availability. How about in your life? Are you teachable? Willing to invest yourself in the study of God's Word? God's way is different than the ways of the world, isn't it? And if you cannot learn from the Lord, you will not be able to walk in the path that God has designed for your life. God's Word is the light unto our path. Are you teachable? And then finally, are you faithful? When you learn a principle from God's Word, are you willing to make the attitude adjustment? When you learn a principle from God's Word, are you willing to make the conduct adjustment? If you learn a principle for God's Word, are you willing to make the relationship adjustment? You see, availability and teachability and faithfulness are the stepping stones to walking well with God. They are our automatic transmission fluid that keeps us moving forward with God in our life. As we open the book of Joshua, we are made aware that God spoke directly to Joshua about his calling and commission to lead Israel to the promised land. And I think what we'll see in regard to Joshua is that he was an ATF follower of God. He was available, he was teachable, and he was faithful. I've asked John to come and read for us the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. So John, would you come, please?
Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9.
Thank you, John. In the opening verse of Joshua here, we find the Bible plays a great tribute to the one who went before Joshua. It says in verse 1, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." The Lord, through his word, pays a great tribute concerning Moses and Moses' faithfulness to the Lord. When I read this passage, I just paused and thought, you know, as it says, after the death of Moses, the passage could have ended there in its description of Moses, and we would have known who God was referring to, and God could have just set Joshua up after that without adding that phrase, servant of the Lord. But God desired for us to be presented with this descriptive phrase of who Moses was, Moses, the servant of the Lord. God felt it important to emphasize to us this character quality of Moses' life. And as I sat back and considered this description God gave of Moses, I thought, is there any greater tribute that God could give to a person in his word than to refer to them as the servant of the Lord? Think about it. Immortalized within the Word of God. The Word of God, which will never fade, that will never be done away with, that will never go away, to be referred in the Word of God by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the servant of the Lord. What an awesome eulogy of Moses from the Word of God. What a tribute God's word paid to Moses. And it caused me to consider, how would I want to be described by God when my life is done upon this earth? From the time in which I accepted Christ as my Savior to the time I faced my dying days upon earth. When I finally arrive at that place of judgment before God, or that place of reward with God, what would be the words that I long to hear from my Savior's lips? Well, this led me to thinking about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and in Luke 19. The faithful servant heard these words from his master, and they're on the front of your bulletin there, Matthew 25, 21. "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." I thought, wow, that's the kind of person I want to be. I want to hear those words from my master. How about you? That day that you're standing at the Bema Seat judgment, the place where God rewards us for those things that we've accomplished on earth in the name of Jesus. Think about it, beloved. On that moment that you stand before God at that Bema Seat judgment, how many things about this earthly life are really going to matter to you? How many trials that you faced are really going to be of any concern? Of all the stuff that you've earned and built up in terms of this life, what is it all going to matter in that moment when you are standing before the Lord and you're facing Him for that very first time? What is it that you are going to long for as you stand in the awe of the presence of God? What is your heart going to be beating and saying? Do you not desire to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? How are you doing with that? How are you doing with those skills and abilities and talents that God has given you? How are you doing with that indwelling Holy Spirit who has given you spiritual gifts by which you are to use in serving the common good? Are you successful? Are you plotting the course? You see, because when you get before the Lord, it's the things that you do in this life that are going to lead you to the place of whether those are going to be the words you hear from the Lord or not. In Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 21, we find an additional tribute to Moses. It says in verse 10, since that time, no prophet has risen in the Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Hey, do you know the Lord face to face? Is that the kind of walk you have with God? Or is the walk you have with God all secondhand information? Secondhand information that you get from the pastor or the teacher. Secondhand information that you get by what somebody else has studied. Or is your relationship with God face to face, one-on-one with the Lord, that you're absorbing Him as He's absorbing you into His Spirit? For all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants and all his land, and for all the mighty power and for the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Wow, to come to the end of your life knowing God was well pleased with your walk and your service of Him. What do you dream about when you enter into heaven? Does it begin with that availability, teachability, and faithfulness to the Lord? Are you the ATF Christian, the one that is moving forward with Jesus in relationship and growth and maturity and service for the Lord? Now, before I talk a little while about Joshua, I want to challenge you concerning your availability, teachability, and faithfulness to God. And here's what I want to talk to you about in relationship to that. I want to warn you, the devil will not make it easy on you to follow the will of God. The devil is an enemy. He is your adversary. The devil's plan is to bring to your attention many different things that the world has to offer you. As he seeks to seduce your sin nature appetites, the desires of your flesh, he wants to lure you to himself. He wants to lure you to his hook, and he wants you to bite. Ben had the opportunity to do a lot of fishing with Doug Neeson, and one of the things he talks about is how you bait the hook and how you get it out there. And I can't help but think of that as an analogy of luring the fish to come and take the bait in order to grab the hook so that I got him. Well, that's how the devil is with us. He's baiting the hook and he's trying to draw us to his presence so that we bite and we take the hook, and he's caught us and we're ensnared by the hook of the devil. The devil is going to dangle and promote the goodies of the world before you. And in dangling the goodies of the world before you, he's promising you happiness. He's promising you contentment. He's promising you that you can get those things outside the will of God. I encourage you, be careful of the devil's bait. Be careful of the devil's hook. You need to be available. You need to be teachable. You need to pursue God with faithfulness. So perhaps this is a good time to pause in our lesson and ask yourself, when all is said and done in this earthly journey, what do you desire your legacy to be? Does it interest you at all to be known as the servant of the Lord, as Moses was known, and how we're going to see Joshua becomes known in his leadership? One last thing about this as we move forward. I was going through the church directory this week, thinking about families of our church before the Lord. And as I went through the church directory, I came to the pictures of Jack Halstad and later on in the alphabet, Dale Vondell. And as I looked at their pictures, And in light of the studying that I'd been doing, the first thing I thought when I saw each of their faces was, I have been honored to walk with two men who love God. Two men who loved God and served Him well. And I can't help but vision in my mind in that moment of standing before the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. From my perspective, well done, guys. Thanks for living that example of availability and teachability and faithfulness in your lives. You're a more modern example in the 21st century of what Christians look like. There is no question about their love for God. Now, in thinking through our walk with God, I asked myself, what were some of the characteristics in Joshua's life that would make him a great leader for God? And as I looked at the passage from Joshua chapter 1, qualification 1 that I saw is Joshua was faithful in following the Lord. You know, faithfulness is the climactic event of availability and teachability. Availability and teachability mean nothing without faithfulness. Joshua's appointment as the heir to Moses' position of leadership took place prior to Moses' death. Moses was a concerned shepherd about God's people. Knowing his death was imminent and Moses was lacking wisdom in the matter of who should replace him as the leader of Israel, Moses, because of his shepherd's heart, not wanting to leave the nation shepherdless in his death, he called on the Lord. And he asked the Lord to reveal his succession plan of leadership. He asked God to provide a shepherd so that the nation would not go shepherdless. I thought, what a stroke of brilliance on Moses' part. He was already applying James 1:5, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In response to Moses' prayer, God revealed his plan to Moses. He revealed it to Joshua and the nation. God called Moses to appoint Joshua to succeed him as the leader of the nation. Listen as I read to that appointment, Numbers 27, 12 through 23. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him, and have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, and shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his commandment they shall go out, and at his commandment they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregations. And Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Joshua was commissioned to leadership by God. And I want to say a few things about leadership. Leaders who lead because of fleshly zeal to increase their own importance, to increase their own power or control over others, they do great damage to the body of Christ. People who lord authority over others for personal gain and satisfaction, they harm the body of Christ. Such leaders are not pointing the way to the Lord. They are elevating themselves above the Lord, and they're elevating themselves above the Lord's glory. You see, the end of every leadership decision, in or outside of the church, for a man or woman who loves God, should be the overarching goal of, does this glorify my Father in heaven? That should be the pursuit. That should be the desire. That should be the goal. That's our mission in life. Does what I do bring honor and glory to the Lord? Indeed, sometimes we may fail in our human frailties, but our decisions should always be governed by, let us glorify the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. This was certainly the heart of Moses, as we've seen in the tributes to Moses. And it certainly is the heart that Joshua has as he leads the nation of Israel. For we know in Joshua 24 that Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. So Joshua, he was faithful in following God's leadership and guidance and direction and assuming the leadership role of the nation of Israel. Second qualification that made Joshua a great leader, he was faithful in serving others. He was faithful in serving others. You see, this characteristic is found in the first couple of verses of Joshua chapter 1. The passage says, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. I stopped and thought about that a little while. God emphasizing a character quality about the heart of the man that God wanted to lead the nation of Israel. The verse says Joshua served as a servant of Moses. And I thought, wow, this is a description of leadership that is contrary to how the world defines leadership. Just look at leadership in our nation today. It's every man for himself, every woman for himself. Get what you can. Take the power that you can get, the wealth that you can get, the glory that you get, and make it your own. Servanthood has very little to do with much of the leadership that we see today. The words describing Joshua as Moses' servant, again, are not words that were needed in the text for us to understand who it was that God was appointing to lead the nation. And so when I think of God adding this phrase, Moses' servant, I think these words are not so much to help us understand who it was that God was appointing, but God was trying to give us a picture of the kind of man God was appointing to lead. A man who knew how to serve. Joshua was a trustworthy leader because he was the kind of man who could give up his will to serve the Lord's will. He was the kind of man that could give up serving his will in order to serve the best interest of others. Joshua, as a member of the nation of Israel, knowing God had appointed Moses to lead, was loyal to working in the will of God with God's appointed leader. As Moses' servant, we become familiar with the fact that Joshua trusted God to work through this divinely appointed, imperfect leader. Thus, Joshua could support Moses as he trusted Moses' servanthood in guiding the nation. And so here's the point that I would like to make. Before Joshua was ready to serve as a leader, he first had to know how to serve as a servant. You see, the greatest gift that we can give to each other in the body of Christ is stated for us in Mark 9:35. If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last and servant of all. God never calls a leader to act with pride and arrogance or ego. He calls his leaders to be humble and surrender to the lordship of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that they aren't bold. They need to be bold for the will of God. They need to be certain in the direction that they're going. But they are not to lord authority for self-glorifying and self-elevating purposes. For those who support God's leader, God tells the church not to muzzle the ox. I make this point to emphasize this. God never tells the shepherd to dip into the pot and take for themselves. God tells the church not to muzzle the ox. He doesn't tell the leader to dip into the pot and take what he wants. Because God's design and God's plan is that the leader will focus on the work of God. The leader will help other people focus on the will of God. The leader will focus on his walk with God or her walk with God. And the leader will help others to focus on their walk with God. The leader is not to be burdened with these other things other than looking out for the spiritual best interest of the body. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elders and witnesses of suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compassion, but voluntarily. Not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock." Leading the people to relationship with God. And I believe that this is the kind of servant that Joshua was. He was faithful to being a servant of God. He was faithful to being a servant of the people. And so this is in part what caused him to become a great leader of the nation of Israel. Joshua learned about serving as leader by first learning how to serve as a servant. How about you? Qualification number 3. Joshua was faithful in integrity and courage. Joshua was faithful in integrity and courage. We all know it's hard to follow a leader in whom there is no confidence as to their character, as to their integrity, as to their reliability. It's difficult to follow someone who is not willing to make the same sacrifices in our lives if they're not willing to make those same sacrifices in their life. Joshua has proven character and integrity as a servant, and thus he would be reliably committed to the Lord. And he would be reliably committed to leading the nation of Israel in the way of the Lord. Notice an awesome event that demonstrates the spiritual integrity and courage of Joshua while under the leadership of Moses. Again, please listen as I read from Numbers 14. "Then all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh, we would have died in the land of the wilderness. Oh, why is it the Lord is bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their knees in the presence of the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregations of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flows with milk and honey, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel." Even though the majority were turning their back on the will of God, Joshua and Caleb, they stood firm. The reason that the congregation was saying, "Pick up the stones," is because of the faithfulness that Caleb and Joshua to the Lord. Faithfulness in integrity, faithfulness in courage. They were willing to stand before the couple million of people and say, "This is the will of the Lord. Let us follow it. And even though in the face of the multitude, it was obviously an unpopular decision, it did not dissuade Joshua from standing firm as to where God wanted him to stand. You know, sometimes the will of God is not going to be popular with everyone. Sometimes the will of God calls us to face difficult situations and hard circumstances and even to face critical spirits. You can't always please everybody and get the job done for God. Sometimes we can know the will of God and know that we have to stand in the will of God with integrity and courage. That's what doing the right thing for the right reason with the right heart means. Are we as leaders and as the church built on the rock of Christ? Are we as personal followers of Christ willing to stand where God wants us to stand in the face of adversity? Where do we find such faith to go forward? Where do we find such faith to go forward and live unto faithfulness? The Word of God tells us in Romans 10, 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. The power, the significance, the awesomeness of the Word of God and the role that it ought to play in our life. If you're a person who is lacking faith, the Word of God's a great place to go, because it is through the Word of God that we understand the mind of God, the heart of God, the character of God, the will of God. And it is to that Word that we make ourselves available. It is to that Word that we make ourselves teachable. It is to that Word that we make ourselves faithful. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Hey, you want to be ready to do the will of God? You want to be ready to make a difference for God? You want to be ready to influence others to God? The Word of God is the means. That's the preparation point. It's where we grow the spiritual muscle. It's where we grow the spiritual wisdom. It's where we grow the spiritual insight from God, that we might be adequately equipped for every good work. Those good works that God marked out beforehand, that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. That is how we accomplish it. Ecclesiastes 12, 12 through 14, again on the front of your bulletin. But beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to some people. No, this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or bad. This applies to every person. Joshua paid attention to God. He paid attention to God's word. He paid attention to God's will. Good qualities to bolster the spirit of godliness in a leader. A man whose ministry I appreciate, and I've shared this with you before, but I think it's noteworthy to state it again, is a man by the name of Job Martin. He was a Baylor professor, unsaved at the time, and a number of students in his class challenged him to study creation versus evolution and to see which the evidence supported. And so with these students, they started on a long journey of studying science and studying the Word of God and comparing the Word of God to science. And at the end of that time, Job Martin accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And eventually, Job Martin wrote this book. It is called The Evolution of a Creationist. And it's a personal testimony of how God brought him to the place of recognizing faith in Christ was the way to go. Dr. Martin, in the preface of his book, before you read chapter 1, he writes an admonishment to Christians. And his admonishment is this. If you have time to read this book today, but you have not taken time to read your Bible, then you do not have time to read this book today. You see, we begin with the Word of God because it's inspired, it's authoritative. It's where we build our relationship with God. It's what we make ourselves available to. It's what we allow to teach us, and it's what we dedicate ourselves to being faithful to. Church, if you have time to read the newspaper, you got time to read the sports page, you got time to read your favorite blogger, you have time to read Better Homes and Gardens, you have time to read some manual on how to fix your car. If you have not read your Bible, you do not have time to read those other things. Having time for the Bible in your day is a matter of priority, and it is a matter of time. The willingness of you to spend your time with God. So we've considered many things in our study today. We've looked at the spiritual legacy of Moses, and we've been challenged to think about what we want our spiritual legacy to be. We've considered how we can best come to understand the fullness of God's call upon our life by making ourselves available, teachable, and faithful to God. These are our core principles in pleasing God. And we've seen why God would choose Joshua as his leader for Israel. He was a man committed, commissioned to leadership. God elevated him there because God saw within Joshua the character that the nation needed to be led by. He was a man who knew how to serve as a servant before serving as a leader. And he was a man who lived with spiritual integrity and courage, even in the face of adversity. So my question to you this morning is this. How's God spoken to your heart? As you've been here available to the Lord today, is there some way in which God has whispered into your ear this morning, and something that God has taught you with, something that God has challenged you with, something that God has asked you to pay attention to in your life, something that God has affirmed in your life and said, you know, you're doing that right. Keep going. Keep going. You got that one down. Do that. And I commend you for it. You see, sometimes we always think of the Word of God as bringing conviction, but sometimes it brings affirmation and encouragement that we are doing it correctly. And that's what we should continue to do. So the question comes back to this. Is there something that God has spoken to your heart today? In some teachable way, in this availability that you've given yourself to God's truth. The question is faithfulness. What happens when you walk outside the doors of the church? In your availability and your teachability by God, is there going to be a faithfulness to respond obediently to what God has asked? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today, and I trust in this room unanimously with surrendered hearts in a desire to do your will, in a desire to be used by you. And just in this quiet moment, Lord, that as we've come together, as each heart has an expression to give to you of their desire for availability and teachability and faithfulness, I would just ask, Lord, that you would hear each voice that is calling out to you. Or better yet, Lord, I should say, as you hear each voice that is calling out to you, I would pray that it would be more than simply words that we utter in the moment of this hour in the safety and warmth of this room. But Lord, that it would be principle of truth that we'd stick in our back pocket and we'd walk out the door with. And as we live our life this week, that we would put on these principles that you have called us to.
Help us, Lord, to think through that legacy that we want to leave behind us. Help us to think through the kind of tribute that we want to be received by when we enter into your presence. Might we truly be able to think on those things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God and be able to set aside for a while the trials and the difficulties and the journey that we have on earth and just to be refreshed and bask again in your presence and in your truth and in the warmth of your arms so that when we have to walk back into the world, we would do so under your authority and power and strength. Help us not to be overwhelmed by the world, but help us to be more than conquerors, Lord, in what we do. I would pray, Lord, that in this quiet moment now, that you would simply bear witness with our spirit. And as we just take a brief moment of silence before you, might you, Lord, whisper to our hearts those things that you would have us to do for your honor and glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's be reminded of our anthem, our mission, our call by God. Make it real. Do.
The right
for.
The right reason,
with.
The right
to make a difference at.
Home.
In. Throughout
the world.
It is God's work.
For God's glory.
Amen. God bless you as you walk with the Lord this week.